Our fathers, we come before you this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm very conscious of my inability. I'm very conscious, Lord, of our church inability to accomplish the will of God. We know, Lord, that it takes the Spirit of God to do the work of God. And we know the Spirit of God can only do the work of God as we cooperate, as we allow the Spirit of God to work in us, on us, and through us. We pray this morning that you'll help us all to search our heart, and hopefully that has took place before we ever even come to church, to make sure there'd be nothing between us and you, between us and others, that there would be no hindrance, no grievance to the Holy Spirit. Lord, we cannot save anyone. We cannot call prodigal sons and daughters from the far country. We can't do that. But Lord, you specialize in that. You have the power and the want to and the ability, Lord, to do that. Lord, no doubt about it, in this congregation as well as those that would be watching through live stream, that there are people that are lost without God. And I'd ask you this morning to get personal. God, get powerful, Lord, to them, each one, and draw them. Draw them to yourself, Lord, as the Scriptures teach us. Lord, those that are in our midst today that you've been dealing with, Lord, may they know that your arms are open wide. Lord, you stand ready, willing, and able to help, to save, to, Lord, whatever's needed. You are our sufficiency, as we talked about earlier. Lord, we pray for leadership, direction, clarity of mind of what you would have me to say, what you would have me to see, what you'd have me to do, Lord, in the service. Lord, if you leave me to myself, Lord, we'll go the wrong direction, say the wrong thing. But Lord, I submit myself to your authority. I submit myself even now, Lord, not to experience and years of preaching, but I submit myself to you, the one that called me to salvation, the one that called me to service. And Lord, I submit myself to you that you would control me and use me as your mouthpiece. And Lord, what you do for us, we'll thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In Mark's Gospel chapter number 5, we'll start our reading in verse number 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, this is where we want to look at our focus this morning, what appears to be an interruption turned out to be an illustration. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, and go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? And of course, the story goes on to deal with Jesus going to the ruler's house and how what all he done there and raising up of Jairus' daughter and so forth. But I want us to focus our attention on this woman with the issue of blood. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Pray for us that the Lord will help us this morning. I'm reminded in the scripture how that many times the physical miracle of a person is a perfect illustration of a spiritual miracle that Jesus desires to perform in sinners. If you look at this woman, she is a classic example of someone who needs to be saved. What was her problem? Her problem was found in her blood. And you and I this morning have human blood. We have depraved blood. We have sinful blood in us, in that we have been made sinners by birth, by conception, if you will, as it was passed on from Adam and Eve right down through every man and woman, boy and girl that's ever been born in this world. They were born corrupt. They were born a sinner, as the Bible teaches us that. Amen. You don't grow into being a sinner. You are born a sinner. Amen. And then you become a sinner by choice, not just a sinner by conception, but you're a sinner by choice. And that is, there's a time comes in your life when you know better, when you know you're telling a lie, when you know there's consequences for sin, you know that you've done wrong, that you've disobeyed God, you've went against God's word. And that's what sin means. Sin means a transgression of the law. Transgression of the law is what sin is. And so we find with this woman here that she had a physical issue, but it was illustrative of a spiritual problem that people have. And we noted it there in verse number 26. The Bible says here, and she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. This is the first approach that mankind will have toward their need. They sense a need. They know they have a need. This woman was very much aware that she had a plague, a problem, and it was, and we'll say some more about that in a minute. It was controlling her. It was corrupting her and so forth. But the first thing that she did is what most people do. She tried everything that she could do. And this is different direction now that I was planning to preach from this passage, even coming to church this morning. But she tried everything. She tried all of earthly means. She tried things that maybe she'd heard others talk about. The Bible said in verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians. She had not only probably tried home remedies to try to fix her problem. She probably tried that. Everybody probably give recommendations. You need to straighten up. You need to do better. You just need to quit doing this and quit doing that. And you just need to start going to church. And you need to just start participating in church. And you need to read your Bible and all sorts of things. And some of those things may be recommended to her. Probably was good things. Amen. But it wasn't helping her. She needed something more than just an antidote and a remedy that somebody else recommended. She needed a miracle. And can I remind us this morning that salvation is in fact a miracle. Miracle meaning that God must do it. If it's not a miracle, man can do it. But listen, you can figure it out. You can fix it. You can go here, there, whatever. Try this and that. And find something that'll help. But since it's a miracle, that means you can't do it. That means others can't do it. The church can't do it. Preachers can't do it. Your family can't do it. Mom and Dad wanted to fix me when I was lost and rebellious, Brother Craig, but Mama couldn't do it. She realized that what was wrong with me those first 20 years of my life, she realized that correction really couldn't fix it. Amen. A trip to the back bedroom and have a prayer meeting with Daddy really didn't fix it. But Mom and Daddy knew that if something that what was wrong with me needed God's attention. And thus, Mama and Daddy both were great prayer warriors in my behalf. And so this woman here, the Bible said, had suffered many things of many physicians. There's not even a number given here. Just classified it as many physicians. There's no telling what's in that statement. There's no telling how many miles that she had walked to go from one physician to another. Can you imagine? The Bible said there she suffered many things of many physicians. That word suffered there means to experience the sensation of pain. She would go, no doubt, with hopefulness to this doctor, to that physician. She had traveled many miles to go here and go there, only to discover that she was not getting better, that she was getting worse. Is that not the nature and track of sin? The more you do to try to fix it, it doesn't detour its direction. It doesn't change nothing. In fact, it gets worse. Most of us in here can testify to that fact that all that we did to try to straighten up, make New Year's resolutions and so forth, it didn't help us. It may have helped us for a few weeks, a few days, a few months, possibly, but probably not beyond that. I know for myself, I'd end up in the same ditch. I was doing the same thing, go back to the same party, go back to the same places. Just shortly after turning over a new leaf, a resolution, but when I got gloriously saved, that's when I met Jesus. I quit doing what I tried to do. I quit trying other people's recommendations, and I went to Jesus. Jesus spoke to me, dealt with me that day, and showed me that what I needed was Him. And I know that's the simplicity of the gospel, but what I needed was Him. This woman testified, I tried everything. I went everywhere, tried everything, every doctor, but she said, I never got better. I never got better. I got worse, she said. It got worse. Those little things become big things. What used to be one little thing that I would do, now that don't even faze me. Now that I'm having to do deeper things and bigger things and more things. Why? Because that's that reveals the nature of sin, its impossibility of satisfying you. Amen. Most people that's alcoholics, or most people that drinks alcohol, they didn't start out drinking cases and even promoted from beer to liquor and the hard stuff. They didn't start out that way. They started out with just a little social thing. It was just a little thing. And next thing you know, that wasn't enough. And then it took two, and then a six pack and a case and then a keg. And then you're drinking like a fish. Amen. And why is that? That's the nature of sin revealing its impossibility of satisfying you. The more you have of it, the emptier you are. The more you do, but the devil will whisper in your ear what you need is you just need to go see more physicians. She probably had that voice talking to her in her ear. You just hadn't went to the right one yet. You just hadn't went to the right one yet. So she just kept going from one thing to the next, from this person to that person, this location to that location. And the Bible says here that she did not get better, but that she grew worse. Amen. Don't trust anything that don't change your life. Don't trust anyone that doesn't change your life. Amen. See, the doctors of our day, the doctors that she deals with, at best can only deal with symptoms. The world, that's all their recommendations revolve around is symptoms. Okay, you're miserable. Okay, well, here's what you need to do. Okay, you don't have any peace. Oh, well, here's what you need to do. You're having marital problems. Well, here's what you need to do. Listen, all they deal with is symptoms. Now, I want to tell you what's the difference between what the world would recommend and who Jesus is. Jesus does not deal with the symptoms. He goes to the root of the problem. He knows that if you are miserable, if you don't have peace, if you are at the bottom of the scale, so to speak, spiritually or in experience, He knows the problem is that you need Him. Amen. You don't need to keep doing what you've been doing. Don't that make sense? If doing something a little don't satisfy, certainly doing it a lot's not going to satisfy. Amen. The more, a lot of times, a lot of times people think that if I just had more money, I could be doing better. Well, no. The Bible said here she evidently was a lady of means. The Bible said that she spent all she had. She exhausted her bank accounts, her IRAs, her retirement. She exhausted everything that she had for the effort of trying to be better. Boy, listen, are you here this morning? Anybody listening to me this morning, that in your heart there's a desire, I'm sick of being sick. Now, I'm not talking about physically. I'm sick of being empty. I'm sick of being miserable. I'm sick of not having peace. I'm sick of searching and trying and experimenting and looking and exhausting my means and spending money and all of this, and I'm not getting better. You need to come to that reality. Oh, yes. You need to come to that realization this morning that what I'm trying to do is not fixing my problem. I've got an issue that's bigger than me. I've got a need that's bigger than me. I need to find out where the real source of the miracle is. I need to find out where it's at. One of the first steps, and Lord just brought this to my mind. One of the first steps that's in this woman's story was that she was dissatisfied with her condition. I have never seen anybody, Brother Craig, get saved that did not first get miserable or dissatisfied, recognizing I have no peace, I have no joy, I'm not happy, nothing I'm doing, nothing I'm drinking, nothing I'm smoking, nothing I'm taking, nowhere I'm going, no parties I go to, nothing is fixing my problem. I do it, I drink it, I smoke it, or whatever, but I'm still empty. I wake up in the morning and when I'm back to reality, there it is again, my empty world. The first step to getting help this morning, the first step is to recognize I am dissatisfied with my condition. Now, if you're satisfied with your condition, you like that rat race of sin that I used to be in for the first 20 years of my life, if you like that, guess what? You're not going to be interested in salvation. You're not going to be interested in church. You're not going to be interested in Jesus. Amen. The gospel, you're not going to be interested in that. But when there's an emptiness starts to take place inside of you, as Brother Cody testified powerfully on Wednesday night, how that he felt trapped. And that's what the life of sin is. It is a prison. It is bondage. It is a trap. You are trapped. You can move around inside of the circumference of that little zone, but you can't get out. You can't escape. Amen. Boy, David reveals something clearly to us. The psalmist David did in Psalms 40, did he not? When he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he inclined unto me. David was in a pit. The Bible said he brought me up and also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on the rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Do you think David, before he called on the Lord, tried to jump out, climb out? Do you think that he tried to figure out how can I get out of this pit? That's what the life of sin is. It's the pits. If you want to talk about life becoming the pits, that's what it is. Amen. Oh, yes. And when I was living that life, I thought, man, this is it. This is it right here. And I didn't realize how small of a little world, Brother Rodney, that I was in. I didn't realize the hopelessness that I was there. I didn't realize what the big life was outside of that pit. I didn't realize that. I was so focused on my little life inside of that pit and trying to be happy, trying to find joy, trying to find peace, and it never came. It never came. Amen. Are y'all listening? I'm talking about a 20-year testimony for me. It never came. It never came. Brother Fultz, how old were you when you got saved? You was 12 years old, Brother Aaron. 22, Brother Craddock. Brother Craddock was 30. We've heard Brother Craddock's testimony. Did you ever find joy before you found Jesus? Brother Aaron? Brother Fultz? And we could go around this room. We could interview Everybody in this room that's saved, we could have a call in today. Everybody that's watching that's saved, and every one of them will testify the same thing. It's not that we're trying to convince you. We're trying to testify of reality. We never found joy and peace and contentment and purpose for living until we met the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I'm not putting on a show this morning. What you see is what you get, good or bad, amen. But I'm telling you, the real deal is this. I recommend Jesus to you, the same Jesus that did a work in many, many people in his earthly ministry, whether it was the blind men or the lepers or the those that were dead or those that were, dumb, that couldn't speak, or whatever the miracle was. I can relate to that. Those things have happened to me spiritually. Amen. Boy, I recommend Jesus to you this morning. If you don't hear nothing else, I recommend Jesus. He is the remedy. When you're down to nothing and your back's against the wall and you've tried everything and you feel like you've done everything and you've seen everything and you know everybody, then you're still empty. You're still pilling your head at night and there's no joy. I want to tell you, what you need is not another fix, another high, another friend. What you need is Jesus Christ. Thank God, that's the powerful truth of the gospel. You know what gospel means? You know what the word gospel means? Good news. But you tell good news. Here, listen, Brother Rodney, let's just take you for example. You're on the front row, so you're getting picked on. If Brother Rodney's sick, you know what's going to be good news to him? I'm talking about if he's physically sick, is if I say, hey, Brother Rodney, I know a doctor that addresses that, and he's got a good reputation. That's good news to him. You know why? What I told him met what his need is. Amen. Oh, yeah. Good news to a sinner is when I tell you where your help cannot be found, and that's what I've been doing, you cannot find it in the many physicians, the much spending, the multitude of the people that was hanging around Jesus, which would represent the church. Your help is not going to be found in people. Your help is not going to be found in prosperity. Your help is not going to be found in possessions. Your help is not going to be found in popularity. Your help is going to be found when you recognize, I am sick spiritually. Something's major wrong with me spiritually, and nothing and no one in this world can fix it except Jesus Christ. And you know what? When you hear that, that will be good news to you. But if you don't mind your life right now and everything's hunky-dory with your life, I could tell you till I turn blue in the face that Jesus is the best thing that'll ever happen to anybody, anytime, anywhere, and it won't mean nothing to you. But when you're miserable and when you're, amen, somebody's, God, listen, pick up the phone. God's dialing your number, amen. When you're miserable, amen, and you tried everything and done everything and it's, and you've not got better. It hadn't fixed your filthy mouth. It had not fixed your habits. It has not cured you of your desires that are wicked, your desires that you know that is not of God and is not wholesome or healthy for you. Well, I'm glad to report to you, Jesus Christ. I got hung up right there, but that's all right. The Bible said she had suffered many things of many physicians. You know what I see in that statement? I guarantee you she got to the place to where she said, nope. I'm not trying nothing else. I'm not going nowhere else. I've tried so many of them, I've lost count. I've spent so much, I don't have any money left. I'm tired. I'm sick of it. I'm done. I'm not trying nothing else. Hopelessness. Can I give a good word to you this morning? I'm just trying to mind the Lord. Can I give a good word to you this morning? If you're hopeless, He is helpful. Amen. He specializes when He walks, and if you've read your Bible, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that records the earthly ministry of our Lord. If you read that, you know that Jesus specializes in showing up where hopelessness and helplessness is prevalent. Amen. He was constantly there and meeting with people that many cases had tried and tried and tried, but it never, nothing ever worked. And Jesus, when He enters the equation, when He enters the picture, and when He has the floor, and when He has the grounds to take over the situation, things eternally and spiritually happens. Amen. And so I recommend Jesus to you this morning. This is a statement I heard years ago. But boy, it is fitting. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Is there any here this morning could raise their hand and say, "Preacher, I can testify to that." If you can, I want you to raise your hand that I can testify that Jesus was exactly what I was looking for. Look at the hands in here. And behind those hands are a testimony. A testimony of when they were lost. A testimony when God was dealing with them and they were under conviction. A testimony that when, wherever it was, whether it was at home, a church, or in their bed, or I've heard people getting saved all over different places. And if we had the time, we could reveal that here this morning, even in our setting here, where people got saved in different places, whether it was at church, at the couch in the living room, Brother Ivan got saved in a tree stand. I've heard of some pulling over on the side of the road. They got saved holding on to the back bumper of their vehicle. I've heard all kinds of things. Amen. Praise God. Brother Cody got saved on the hill behind the house. That's right. Amen. Do you have a place? Do you have a place? I'm not talking about a place where you just went and prayed a little prayer, or somebody shook your hand and patted you on the head and told you it was okay, or you filled out a card and, you know, went through the Baptist. I'm talking about, do you have a place in your life where God hemmed you up and you knew that you were lost? You knew that I've tried everything and it's not working. I'm getting worse and I'm getting worse and my life is unraveling as I speak. Do you have a place? I've got a place. Amen. Everybody that's saved's got a place. You've not always been saved. There's a place somewhere where you did business with God about your sin and about salvation. Amen. If you don't have a place, guess what? You need a place. May this be the place. May RBT this morning be the place where you meet Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And she just kept getting worse and worse and worse. You know what? She's probably coming. You know probably what come in her mind? I'm tired of people lying to me. I'm tired of people lying to me, telling me this physician really will help you. Boy, if you'll go try this one, he'll give you something. He'll help you. You'll get some help there. And she kept going and trying, and she was miserable and experienced even pain from it. The Bible said she suffered many things of many physicians. She probably thought, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of people lying to me. Well, guess what? I'm not lying to you. You know why? Because I've got my testimony to back me up. If there wasn't nothing to it, come on now, listen. If there wasn't nothing to this thing of salvation, I believe I'd have found it out by now. I don't think it'd take 38 years to realize this is a bunch of fake and phony mess. Do you? And before God in heaven, hallelujah. Before the God of heaven this morning, I stand before you declaring 38 years of knowing Jesus. And he's been everything and more than I could ever dream. What mom and daddy couldn't do, but would have loved to have done, Jesus did. Oh, hallelujah. And boy, I recommend Jesus to you this morning. I know that's basic and I know that's elementary, especially to us that's been saved for years, but not everybody that's watching or listening this morning is saved. They need to know that all that they've been trying and doing is not getting better, but it's getting worse. And the Bible said that she spent all that she had. You think she was serious? Do you think that woman was serious about wanting help? Do you think that woman was serious? Hey, what you're willing to spend money on, you're serious about. Now, it may not be worth a dime, but now you're serious about it. If you think it's going to be good for you and it'll help you, you'll spend every... Listen, that's right. That's right. All I need to know is what you spend money on will tell me where your heart is. That's right. She spent everything she had. She was serious. You know what she was saying? I'd rather be broke than to be miserable. I'll spend every dime I've got if I can find something or someone Brother Samuel, that can help me, that can fix my problem, that can address the issue that I have. I'll spend everything. You know why? You can't put a price tag on happiness. You can't put a price tag on joy and peace and contentment. You can't price it, praise God. Listen, the world can't put a price tag on it. You spend all you have and you'll never purchase it. Why? Because what you need cannot be bought. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's been good to me. I don't have a cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't even have 1,000 hills. But I tell you what, I got peace in my heart. I pillowed my head last night and fell quickly to sleep. Amen. A lot of times I go to sleep before I'm ready to go to sleep. A lot of times I'm trying to read some before I go to bed. And I'll wake up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. My glasses are hanging off my head, you know, and be so asleep that instead of waking up and trying to just straighten up and move everything out, I'll just slide it back up, go right back out. Next thing I know, it's off down here again, you know. Hey, you know what? Peace. Peace. I don't have to pull out the check account to see anything before I go to sleep and have peace. Amen. I don't have to take a total and see how many friends I've got. Amen. It's before I have peace. No, I got peace because I know the peace speaker. I know him by name. Hallelujah. Because he stepped up on the bow of the ship of my life when I was in troubled seas of sin. And he spoke peace to my life. Hallelujah. Oh, the songwriter had it right. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Praise God. Well, we got hung up in verse 26. That's fine with whatever the Lord wants. But I can't leave you in verse 26. I can't leave you with the fact that she's realizing nothing's helping me that I've tried. Nothing's helping me that I've done. I've exhausted all my means. I've spent everything and I'm tired. That's a good place to be. God specializes in giving rest to people that are tired. Amen. Can I quote you a verse? Nobody responded, but I'm going to quote it anyway. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus said this. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Who did Jesus address? Those that were heavy laden. Those that were burdened. Those that were wore out. Are you wore out this morning? Can you get the picture? This woman in our text was wore out. She was exhausted. Exhausted. I can't try another physician. I don't have any more money to spend. I am just tired of it. But the story changes in the next verse. What does it start out with? A great, what is that word but? A contrast, what is that word English? Come here, English people, help me out. Is it a conjunction? I don't know. I have no idea. I barely try to speak it, much less know it. But I do know the word but is showing a contrast. This is happening and this was it. The many physicians and the much spending and all of that. That was the case. But the story changes now. Look what it says. We're not going to be able to deal with all of it. Look what it says. But the Bible says in verse 27, when, I thought it started with a but it says, when she heard of Jesus. When. Shows a time that it started, a time that there was a change. When she heard of Jesus, she was tired of hearing about the physicians, then she tried them all. She was tired of all the remedies and recommendations and all of that, quick fixes. Boy, do you get tired of them quick fixes? Oh, I know what you need. You just need this and this and just quick fixes. Brother, there's no quick fix for sin. Amen. We're talking about a permanent fix. We're talking about change your life. The Bible said when she heard of Jesus. Now what made that so special? What made that difference? What does that imply? Brother Jonathan, what that implies is it didn't say there and when she heard from Jesus. Everybody hearing me? It did not say that when she heard from Jesus. It said when she heard about Jesus. What does that mean? That meant that she heard people talking. That's why you and I that are saved, that's why it's important that we talk about Jesus, because somebody needs to hear that there's a fig. Somebody needs to hear when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. You need to understand that, listen, there's been a multitude of people born again before today. And they're testimonies of Jesus. Who knows? This woman may have been sitting on, I can just picture Miss Donna sitting on her front porch, rocking back and forth in her rocker, miserable, sick, and broke. Tried everything, done everything, was just sitting on the porch, waiting to die. And maybe somebody came by that she knew that, I know that person. What is that person doing walking? And maybe she got up out of her seat and went down and asked, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing walking? I thought you was the lame man. Oh, yes, I was. But Jesus came along. Jesus, Jesus. And she walked back up her sidewalk. Jesus, Jesus. I've never heard nobody's name like that. Jesus. And she sat back down on her porch thinking, Jesus, whoever he is, did that for him. He's no longer a lame man, now he's leaping. Jesus. And about that time, here come another down the sidewalk and noticed and knew them. And noticed they weren't tapping along with a stick. And they weren't tripping over things. But it was evident that they could see. And they would stop and look at the flowers. And they saw a bird fly over and they watched that. And they was looking up at the sky like they'd never seen it before. And she went and she said, wait a minute, wait a minute. What did you do with your stick? And why are you not tripping over things? And I thought you were blind. Well, you see, I was. Key word there is was. I was blind, but a man named Jesus came along. A man named Jesus came along and he did what nobody could do. Well, she's done heard too now. She's going back up on the seat and she's thinking, you know what? I've given up on all the physicians, but maybe there's something about this physician. Maybe there's something special about this doctor. And she's sitting there and faith is starting to generate and confidence is starting to rebuild and hope is starting to come in her life. Amen. And maybe she saw one other go by. Maybe she saw Jairus go by, whether it's 12-year-old. You know, maybe she saw Lazarus. Who knows who she saw? No telling who all she seen. And probably interviewed them the same way, and they all kept referring, well, Jesus made the difference. I think about Miss Tara sitting back here. Miss Tara, her husband, Brother Chuck, was an atheist. Hold your hand up right here, sis. Miss Tara, she had no desire to come to this church. I mean, she was pretty militant about it. I'm not going to that church. I don't like that church. I'm not going to that church. I'm at this church. And what happened to you, sis, a few years ago?
Lord saved me on January 1st.
Amen. And guess where you've been going to church since then? Right here. You know what she needed? Jesus. Brother Ben, I don't even know anything much about your past, but you and Miss Kim, y'all came up here from Florida. You know all you needed? Is Jesus. No, I'm talking about whenever it was that you got saved, that's what you needed. And I've talked to you enough to know that you had a pretty rough past. You know.
I had a good beginning.
That's right.
But I walked away from it.
Yeah.
Jesus brought me back.
That's right.
But nothing else worked.
Nothing else.
Just like the lady in the scripture today.
That's right.
Nothing else worked but Jesus.
That's right. Amen. And are you happy? Are you glad? That's right. I've never met anybody, Brother Jonathan, that says, no, I'm miserable. I hate being saved. I wish I'd have never got saved. I've never heard that. You haven't either. You know why that person doesn't exist? And we've just tried to let the Lord lead us this morning. And I just want you to know this morning, if you're lost, you don't have to stay that way. Because there is a Savior who came here as the Son of Man, lived a sinless life and died supernaturally, sacrificially, substitutionally on an old rugged cross just for you. Paid your sin debt. You can be right with God because Jesus has already paid for your sin debt. You say, preacher, what must I do to be saved? That's the question that the Bible is clear to answer. What must I do to be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know what the scripture says? Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen to this verse, verse 13, Romans 10, 13. For whosoever, I'm glad it didn't put specified people there. It didn't put an elect group there. But it said for whosoever. If you're a person, you're alive, you're in that whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm going to try to close with this right here. I didn't get nowhere where I thought I was going, but I feel like the Lord's led me through. I want to give you this. Many people throughout the gospel story were helped, healed, fixed, whatever you want to say about it, and they never had an invitation to do so. The woman that I'm preaching about this morning, Brother Craig, nowhere do you find Jesus calling her. The leper in Matthew 8, nowhere do you find Jesus calling him. Blind Bartimaeus, you find sinners throughout the scripture pursuing the Savior, going after the Savior. If I may but just touch, I'm going to get where he's going. I'm finding out where he's passing through. And if I can just get there and touch the hem of his garment or his clothes, I'll be made whole. Jesus was walking down the street and this multitude around him was thronging him, which is what I was wanting to preach on this morning, the difference between thronging and touching. But as he was walking down the street, he never said anything to her. He didn't say, ma'am, I can help you, or ma'am, let me help you, nothing. She came in from behind, actually, and touched him. And he stopped immediately, turned around, and said, who touched me? He felt in himself that virtue had went out of him, which means power. The word virtue means power. When the touch of faith, listen, when the touch of faith touches the Lord, the power that's in him comes into you. That's what the Bible talks about when he says in John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, he came into his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become the sons of God. Amen. God says, virtue went out of me. I know somebody touched me, not thronging, bumping into me, but touching me. Who did it? He knew who it was. I believe Luke's account said he turned around to see her that had touched him. And you know what? He stood there, he turned around, he addressed her, and you know what she did? She publicly confessed it. I touched you. This is the truth, this is what was happening, and I touched you. Amen. God's always wanting you to confess it. God's wanting you to tell it. Make it public for what Jesus has done in you privately and personally. If you're here today and you're not saved, I'm telling you, Jesus can save you. I can't save you. I can't save you. Amen. I can't save you. If I could, I would. If I could get saved for you, I'd do that. But I can't save you. I can't get saved for you. But I tell you what I can do, and I tell you what the rest of us in here that are saved can do, we can point you to the one that can. You know why we can point you to the one that can? Is because he's the one that has. And he has saved me, and he saved others, and he can save you today. Amen? The question is, do you want to be saved? That's the bottom line. Do you want to be? God has never saved anybody against their will. Do you want to be saved? You say, but preacher, I am saved. I've made a profession. I did that too. Several in here probably has done that. I've made a profession of faith more than once, but I didn't get saved, Miss Candy. My life never changed. My desires never changed. My direction never changed. I loved sin. I loved sin. Y'all hearing me? I didn't just practice it. I loved it. And that's a testimony of a sinner. A saved person can't say that. A saved person, they may have sin in their life, but I want to tell you what comes in with it. Misery, conviction, chastisement. Amen? That comes in with it. God doesn't take away. Listen, saved person, and listen to this. I want sinners to listen too. When you get saved, God doesn't take away your ability to sin. I want you to know that. Any of us in here that's saved can make a choice, Brother Cody, to do anything that we've ever done before or anything anybody else has ever done before. But what comes in with salvation is that there'll be no joy in sin. And I'm glad it's that way. If it wasn't that way, us here today that are saved, we wouldn't even be here today, because most of us, Brother Ben, have got out of fellowship with God. Most of us have made wrong choices. And because of the misery that came in and the conviction that came in, amen, and that haunting memory of back when I was right with God and what a joy that was, we couldn't handle it. We had to get right with God. Amen. And so if you're here today and you're not saved, I recommend Jesus to you. Praise God. And you'll be able to say along with the rest of us, it's good to know Jesus. But it starts out with wanting to be saved. If you don't want to be saved, you're not ready to be saved. Amen. If you don't realize and look at the fact that, you know what, my life is going nowhere. I'm miserable, empty. We preached that over and over and over this morning. You've got to be dissatisfied with that before you can have a desire for something better. If you're sick, he's a physician. Even Jesus said, they that be whole need not a physician. If you're okay, everything's okay, and everything's fine with you, Jesus is basically saying, I can't help you. But if you claim to be saved and there's never been a change in your life, and listen, I made professions, and I done testify to that there was no change in my life. It didn't change me. It didn't change my language. It didn't change my desires, the things I participated in, people I ran with. It didn't change none of that. But when I got saved by the grace of God, January 20th, 1981, I want to tell you, my life radically changed, Brother Jeter. Radically changed. And you know what? I never had to call one of my friends and say, look, count me out. I'm not coming to the S-curve. I'm not coming to the party. I'm not coming to the day. I didn't have to say none of that to none of them. All I did was hit the ground running, walking with God, going to church, serving God, going in that direction. And you know what? They just started fading off the scene. Amen. They didn't want that. They didn't want that life. They wanted that life that they had with me prior to that. They didn't want the new me. And my wife knows this, everybody here knows this, and I'm not going to go into a lot of details of it because we're trying to close, but my girlfriend that I was engaged to, she didn't like it either. She didn't like it. Instead of getting right with God, getting saved, she just tried to reform and straighten up and hang on, and I was just kept going. I just kept going with the Lord. And Brother Willis, next thing I know, she bails out. Hurt me. Hurt me bad, but I want to tell you what, best thing. That was the best thing that could have happened with that situation. God knows who you need, amen? And I just want to say to you again, if you hadn't heard it this morning already 1,000 times, I recommend Jesus to you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I want to thank you, Father, that the Bible tells us immediately this woman was healed. Immediately. When that virtue went out of the Lord, immediately she was healed. And Father, as we come before you this morning, in Jesus' name, Lord, I don't know who or what is needed in the service. I don't know who wants you. I don't know any of that. But Lord, I know that step by step through this morning's service, Lord, I've tried my best to be obedient to you. I've tried my best to just follow your lead as you directed my thoughts. Even though we was going in a different emphasis of what I originally planned and what I originally thought you wanted me to deal with this morning. And Lord, I ask you right now, Father, that your will would be done. Salvation is of the Lord. And we can be confident that, Lord, you can save sinners. And Lord, I'm thinking even now about the scripture in Timothy where Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And Lord, I think about that blessed truth right there that Paul said that he was the chief of sinners, and you saved him and changed his life and used him. And Lord, if you save the chief, Lord, then you can save any of the rest. You can save anybody else. Lord, if you saved me, and you did, you can save anybody else. And I'm glad your arms are still open. You said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, if someone comes today and there's, Lord, you won't turn them away. You've never turned anyone away. And Lord, I ask you right now that your will would be done. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Help the Christians, Lord, to pray in this invitation moment that your will would be done. Have your way in Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet real quietly and respectfully. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The girls are going to sing. If you need to come, the Lord's dealing with your heart. If you need to come, we'll be glad to meet with you, and we'll be glad to try to pray with you and help you. And I want to add this, without pressure, we won't make you do nothing. I want everybody to understand that. We'll try to answer your questions, try to help you, try to point you to Jesus, but I won't pressure you, and I won't embarrass you. I won't embarrass you today. As they sing, if you need to come, feel free to do so in the closing of this service.
My physicians tried in vain for 12 long years of pain. Is proof that there is nothing they can do.
If you need to come.
I just heard somebody say, there's a healer on the way.
Yes.
Somehow hey. I have to press hey. My way through.
Amen.
I've gotta
Amen.
Get
yes.
to Jesus.
Amen, yeah, right
gotta
here.
Get to Jesus. Amen. I know that he's the answer to my needs. Bring him all my problems. Only he can solve them. Mend the broken pieces. Gotta get to Jesus. When my world is torn apart, I need healing for my heart. I really don't know how much more I can take. Trapped inside a cloud of disbelief and doubt, I only know one way of escape. Gotta get to Jesus. That he's the answer to my needs. Bring him all my problems. Only he can solve them. Mend the broken pieces. Gotta get to Jesus. If the hem of his garment is all I can reach, I know if I touch him, I will be free. I will be free. I'm gonna get to Jesus. these broken pieces. Gotta get to Jesus.